This is the third interview for the Startup Community newsletter, sort of semi-podcast at this point, I guess. And today I'm talking with Max, aka Galron Gaming, of the Stellar Parallax team. Say hello, Max.
Hello, Max.
He's a comedian.
Yeah, I'm such a comedian. Everybody loves me for it. I hate myself already.
The reason why we're having him, and also in the text portion, we have Hobbs, another member of the Stellar Parallax team, answering the questions there, is because their team has recently released, and it'll be linked in the newsletter, the Age of the Federation mod. It is a total conversion mod for Sinister Empire. So, why don't you start, Max, with the first question? Tell us a little about yourself and how you got into modern Sins of Solar Empire.
Well, I'm a huge nerd.
Pretty standard nerd, pretty.
Standard, isn't it? No, how did I get into the modded Sins? Well, that goes back to like Sins originally. I've been into modding games, I'd say since the early 2000s. I helped started well, I worked on some maps for Jedi Academy. I did
That's
some
way
Bridge
back.
Commander modding. Even Jedi Outcast at some point.
I knew the Bridge Command stuff you were involved in, but Jedi Outcast, that's.
That's I made a Titanic that sank for Jedi Academy. I never released it though, so you know, there. If you don't believe me, then well, I really have no way to prove it to you.
I'm sure James Cameron will find it.
If anything, I'll slap him with a lawsuit because we did use plenty of the soundtrack. Good part, you know, the orchestral stuff. But then, like I said, I moved on to Bridge Commander, and then I started modding Star Trek Legacy back in, I think that was 06, 16 at the time, and I got adopted by a group called Chris Jones Gaming. And I became one of the lead modelers on that team, and we released a mod called Ultimate Universe. And I think it's around the same time when Sins of Solar Empire, the OG, like before entrenchment, before like what's entrenchment, you know, before anything got released. And I already started messing with modding that. I wish I had the screenshots back then, but I already started with modding, and I was getting some ships in game, but it never got off the ground because I didn't commit to it. Eventually, I tried to make a Mass Effect mod, which didn't pan out because I found that there aren't enough ships in the universe. So good job on Dawn of the Reapers. You guys really fleshed out a universe ship-wise. And at that time, I didn't have the skill to do anything of that scale. And then eventually, I started tinkering on Armada 3. And that snowballed out of proportion, you know, into ginormous proportion so quickly that I almost couldn't catch up. And then more and more amazing people kept joining our team. You know, we had Bane, we had Chris. Chris is still with the team. Bane is still doing stuff for Armada 3. We had some other very, very talented people join us. We had Rick, eventually Hobbs later on during AOTF. And the team grew and grew and grew. And I think that's where we are now. And you know, some people left, some people stayed, and but you know, the creative juices got shared around, and you know, we made an amazing mod, Armada 3, which no single person can take credit for.
Yeah, is as is the way of pretty much every like genuinely big mod. Like, it's always a collaborative project. I mean, well, even within like official projects, it's collaborative. But mods, I think, especially rely on a lot of goodwill, a lot of like sharing of resources and stuff, which has been done like years ago and.
And what so I think personally what some of the best part is about the Sins community is that it's a very friendly modding community. It's a very open one. There's not a lot of internal competition. Like people try to one up each other somewhat, you know, everybody tries to get the unique feature, but nobody hoards any stuff. And that's something that in the other, like especially in the Star Trek Legacy community, you could feel. And I think that's part of what makes the Sins community great, is that, you know, we're all just a really big collaborative group. And, you know, I think every modding team has communicated with each other or helped each other out in some way. And I think that's part of the magic of the Sins community.
So, next big question. These are the same questions that Hobbs got, of course.
Oh my.
So we're going to see how they compare later as well. What inspires and/or motivates you to actually create, to actually you know, do any of this?
One, I like Trek, so and I want to make a cool Trek game because, frankly, not getting it from any official sources. You can choose CBS, Paramount, Bad Robot, whatever. You know, just mobile games ain't gonna cut it. You know, that people need to fill that itch. You know, the Trek gaming itch. And I've got the skills, I've got the people, we've got the ideas. You know, that we can create something good, and we have produced something really good. And I don't think we're gonna stop anytime soon. And I think that motivates me. So like, there's a need for a game like that, and we enjoy making it. So why the hell not?
Kind of, no one else is doing it, so why not us?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And you know, it's just fun to do. You make something. You know, you see something. You make a. In my case, I do a lot of the 3D models. You know, so I build a ship, and you see it come to life. You know, you see it. You see something that's just a. Starts as a few pixels on your screen. You know, and you see it come to life and actually fly around. I think that's really cool when you make something and, you know, it gets to life.
I thought you were going to say it started like a crayon drawing. And...
Nah, in some cases, some of my ships started out as pencil drawings, so you're not too far off.
I'm going to make this someday. So, a more technical question now.
Okay.
What tools can you not do without?
Well, 3ds Max, of course, Photoshop. Photoshop's like a must. But same 3ds Max to model stuff. And nowadays, Substance Painter, good program. And I got to say, the community is a tool as well, because there are so many references. And there are people that worked on the show that released like unseen pictures of ship models, which, you know, used to only see as like a background ship. And are now, you can find like them. You can find like a ship that was like a burned up model in Wolf 359 is now like, there's now high res pictures of that. And like when I was doing mods earlier, I couldn't dream that you'd have access to resources like that.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of like when it comes to those big productions as well, is the only stuff that doesn't get released, gets actually finished and polished out, but then later on can be used to create expanded universe stuff.
To say. Definitely, totally agree.
And then Disney says it's no longer valid.
Hey, this isn't the Star Wars community. Trek community has no kind of issues like that. We're fine. Everything's fine.
Although that is a good sidetrack, because I would like to mention, kind of uniquely in Age of Federation, you have a reinterpretation of a couple ships, most notably, yes, of the latest, biggest and baddest ship in Trek, the Cosfield class, or otherwise known as the second of its class, the Discovery.
This is actually one which is, it was something I did personally, is I didn't like it. I simply didn't like it, how it turned out. And I decided, you know what? We've got this great aesthetic, which we have to thank Tobias Richter and Alec Peters for. And you know, you got to give credit where credit is due, J.J. Abrams as well, because, you know, he did come up with the whole Kelvin aesthetic.
Yeah.
Which, you know, in my opinion, the Kelvin aesthetic is not that bad at all.
I did like it, especially when it come to also, I mean, it's kind of silly, but I think it got the point across how one of the issues you could argue is more because of the budget reasons, of course, is that everything inside the old ships on the show looked the same, pretty much, with a few exceptions, like in the movies. But then because the Kelvin Town stuff is all movies, like, hey, we'll have like the engineering section look like a, you know, crazy factory.
Yeah, I didn't like
factory.
That part.
You didn't. Yeah, I could argue about, you know, the way it was actually executed. Like the Apple Store aesthetic was a bit like, really, it's way too bright.
Well,
here.
But makes sense.
The
either.
Idea, I think the idea though of making it more distinct, each different area of the ship is pretty important. And I think we're seeing more of that as well in sci-fi.
I don't know. I get you, but I don't entirely agree with your point.
But yes, yeah. The Crossfield class, which you have in the mod, which we can download and play now, but it's not the same ship. It's been modified both mechanically, arguably, because it can't literally go anywhere once technically, and aesthetically to match the kind of the more prime timeline look of Trek.
Well, we opted for the USS Kelvin look for the prime timeline because if you look at the Enterprise era, of course, you know, where you've got the NX-01, which I'm actually doing stuff on right now, and then you look at like the Constitution, the Kelvin does, with some slight tweaks, size-wise, fall into that category nicely. And then of course, you know, Alec Peters took that and with his production team took that the step further, where they took some inspiration on the nacelles, especially from the what's it called? Thingamabob, the Phoenix, because I think his nacelles are just going to check, yeah. Phoenix warp ship. So definitely. Like a lot of inspiration for the nacelles on the USS Ares and the fleet are taken from the Phoenix warp ship, which is a good nod, of course, because a beautiful designed rocket by, I think, John Eaves designed that. And of course, you know, then with their original designs, you know, and that just worked perfectly for us because we wanted to make like a mod that goes from Enterprise to TOS. You know, you've got this perfect mash of a fan film that's smack right in the middle that, you know, and where you can take those designs that they came up with and put them to life, you know, and that people can play with is really cool, in my book at least.
But of course, it's exploring the entire like mysterious era between really ENT and TOS.
It's one of the few mystery eras still.
Yeah, even with Discovery, like still a lot which is like not really explored, especially with the Romulans, which is a big like to this day. Like,
I can't talk about the Romulans. You know that, right?
Yes, because you're still working on some stuff for that, but later.
some
stuff. So the next question, official question, which Hobbs also answered earlier, any special requests for the future of modern in-games? This can apply to Sins or any other game internally. Just kind of more general basis of like, as such a very veteran modder, what would you see as being...
This is like a twofold question because it's like the general stuff and their Sin stuff. Like for stuff I want in Sins, I could write a book. I could write a book on the first...
Have a book.
Like, I mean, Blair, if you're listening...
you say Sins 2, so help me.
So Sins 2 is like the first thing that... No, I mean, Sins 2, you know, if you get it, great. But I think games should be moddable because if you look at a game like Sins, I mean, if you just take Rebellion alone, I mean... Rebellion alone is 10 years old this year because it released in 2009, but technically it released like in 2006, so it's becoming 13 this year, which is like an awkward number. But the community is still active, the game's still selling, and it's still a pretty popular game. And I think you guys, when you guys released that new DLC, I'm pretty sure that brought a bit of extra life into the game again. And I think a lot of games lack that these days. There are no games that are that moddable. There are a few examples like Stellaris and Space Engineers come to mind, but they're not like big budget studio games.
It tends to be either indie or I tend to refer to also what we do all the time like is like so-called double A games.
Triple A
stuff doesn't necessarily care about mods. There's a possible exception that might be Bethesda games, but even they aren't necessarily like AAA technically, like, Activision
they're like,
or...
They're like double and a half A. But to be fair, remember Activision used to be like that. Activision used to embrace modding. Look at Star Trek Bridge Commander, a game that was released like, 2001 or 2 and is still being played to this day, although the modding community has gone extinct. But
I would argue that Blizzard still... tries in some ways. I mean, they've recently done the whole map making stuff Overwatch, but definitely there has been a bit of a. I think like, a bit of
modding's been
put
into a negative light. Like, I think there's a lot of, like, since the DLC model came around, I think a lot of companies were like, well, let's not make modding so that when people mod, you know, they won't buy our new shiny stuff that we bring out. But I think if you look, for example, at Sins, I think that shows the exact opposite. If you can keep a game alive with mods, then your DLC sales will be a lot more than it would be if they, I think if Sins wasn't as moddable, and if Sins didn't have as such an active community, I think the game would have died out long ago, and I think we wouldn't have had half of the DLC we have now. Not just because of my own mods, but I think because of the community as a whole. Sins of Solar Empire, if you look at it from the get-go, it had a ton of mods, and it still does to this day.
Yeah, so we're still fine on looking at the phones as well, like Babylon 5 mod and
the Maelstrom mod.
Maelstrom I find interesting because it includes like a whole mesh of things, and I find it kind of
I like having Maelstrom.
Having some stuff which are like, what's that from, etc. But
a little bit on the nose with some of the homeworld stuff.
But there is definitely a lot of, like when it comes to the thought process of all the games that we make is like, well, how do we incorporate stuff that people can make their own stuff as well? So there's always like a cost as well, so it depends, like people have to use the tools and be like, okay, we're going to expand those. Our next game actually is all about making stuff. That's the video game machine. That's kind of the core bunch of it.
Yeah, I've seen that. Have you shown me that stuff, haven't you? Mm-hmm.
And with Siege of Santoria, we actually are working on a new map editor, which we also want to get to Ashes again because you have a map editor for it, but it's not in the best place. So we want to like work on that, get up to speed as well. But all these tools, like then you know, under one engine, one kind of pipeline is the idea. Of course, with Scenes, we've had many years to improve that, and the you know the iron tools are great. So that's
if you've got some extra.
Yeah. Back to your own personal experience as a modern, what challenges have you had to overcome creatively, technically, or otherwise?
Oof, it's a good question. I think creatively, we've had some challenges, you know, where you can't come up with stuff or you just get really tired of looking at the same things over and over. For example, like I get a lot of people going like, oh, I love your guys' main menu theme. And all I can think is like, oh God, please to God, make it stop. Because I've heard this like 300 times already. And I think that's one of the challenges. Like you don't get bored of your own work because you see it over and over and over again. That's been one of my harder points to overcome.
That's definitely a thing in general with development as well, for sure. And there's also the issue with being, and I wonder how much it's affected modders though, because modders honestly, modern can change a lot, but not necessarily as fundamentally, of course, as like you know core game dev and like changing core game.
Yeah, magic. But that's and, where Sins has been really generous to us. I'll give you that.
But my point is, and what I'm wondering to ask you is that one of the core issues which happens in every like game dev world pretty much is being basically get blinders on where it comes to you've been working on a certain game loop or certain you know
I've got so a really long nice
that you don't no longer see it as a normal like gamer would, so you don't understand like maybe I need to explain that mechanic or explain how that works. You assume that people would know, oh, that makes sense, but like because you've been using it so long that way.
I get that. We had some ideas with our like our income system where it would drain, but you know, for us it was logical because we built this entire system around it. But we got some comments like why are my credits draining? Like, oh yeah, it's not like we're really explaining it. And that's also the technical challenges sometimes where we want to do stuff and then we can't, which can get really frustrating. Like certain animation types, certain coloration of certain things, like certain warp effects. Thank you, Blair. You made that possible. Yes. That was one that was really bugging me personally at the time, where we couldn't do ship-specific like warp effects. Like when we found out that Blair made that possible, it made me really, 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 really happy. There's a lot of challenges like that, which can get really challenging. But it's not exactly one example which would jump out for me, at least.
Okay then. So I'm going to hit you with the big question now. You
Okay.
ready? It's the big one.
All right.
So as a standard nerd, obviously, what is your all-time favorite spaceship design and why?
Hate you.
It's a terrible question, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's almost impossible to answer.
No. Well,
You
I
refuse.
mean, no. I'm gonna answer. Starship, which one do I really like? Well, I'm that's gonna sound silly.
Any
I've
spaceship.
really a love for the Intrepid class, you know, the USS Voyager from Star Trek. Voyager. I don't know. There's something about
Voyager,
that
from
ship.
Star Trek Voyager.
There's something about that ship. I've got actually a little miniature model of it on my desk, and it's just there's something about it. I like it. Yeah, I like that folding the cells as well. Yeah, I know it's gimmicky, but I loved it.
Well, that was lore-wise meant to explain like the whole like what feels affecting like it's like it's
Yeah.
the ozone layer of space-time continuum. It's just protecting
The
us.
ozone layer of subspace.
Sure, I can see that. I can see that because I think the smaller like everyone tends to like go like a
Oh,
big
the
spaceship is
super
cool.
amazing ship. Yeah, it's like
But
I like the ship.
smaller ships, so ships which feel more like on a human level, like the Millennium
Yeah, I mean that's
Falcon, they feel more like hero ships, like characters, usually.
exactly. Like I don't like, for example, I like the Galaxy class as a design, but I don't like it as like how big it is. It's stupid.
You wouldn't want to live in it and question that
I mean
planet.
I'd rather want to live on that than on Miranda, but you know,
Man's a bit too small.
for staying alive purposes as well.
I mean, the original Enterprise was actually, pretty much. I mean, it's not really much about the same size as Intrepid, really.
Yeah, but did you want to know something funny? Like there was a video on YouTube where they were like, you know, like how much room does each officer have on the Enterprise, like the original Enterprise, and they did a comparison like they with the amount of living quarters versus like the size of an RV. And the original Enterprise, even though people say like, oh, it's super tiny and there's no space for everyone, it is actually very spacious for every officer. Like every single officer has at least an RV space-wise.
I think we've had this discussions in the past about this because like real life as it were ships etc. they're not necessarily that big really, but
No,
there's still plenty of
exactly.
room for people. However, with a spaceship like or spacecraft of any sort really, like there's kind of a to me at least there's expectation of like having more redundancy and kind of just more size for stuff and all the air and everything you take with you. But with Star Trek, they have a lot of technology, which helps explain that like, they don't need to have big stores, they have replicators.
Well, actually, one of the things that they did is they mentioned that like the amount of people you could have in the Enterprise, like on the original Enterprise, space-wise, you'd be fine in just a saucer section. Like just a saucer section has enough space for everybody, which I thought was pretty cool. I was like, okay, I didn't expect that to have that much room in there, and I was positively surprised by that, and I really liked it. It was can't remember who did the video. It was a YouTuber. It was a good video.
But yeah, I can totally see the, because again, it's that hero ship notion. It's the same thing with, I think another discussion I saw about like favorite spacecraft and especially fictional spacecraft, of course. Someone really pointed out how compelling the Normandy is in the Mass Effect because it's just the right
I love the
size.
Normandy as well, but I'll have to go for the SR1, not the SR2.
I would go for the, and this is what they went for as well at the time, remember. I would go for the SR2 with the Alliance colors.
Yeah, if I were to go for an SR2, I'd go for the SR2 with the Alliance colors as well. But in general, I think I'd rather go for the SR1. There's something about the SR1, you know, but I think it's also that kind of feeling of my first playthrough of Mass Effect, you know, and
I think
something special about that plan.
the SR1 definitely felt more like a military ship, like submarine.
Yeah, I think that's part of what I liked about it as well.
Whereas the SR2 was, of course, a more civilian and
Luxury,
more commercial.
civilian luxury liner, yeah.
luxury space communism is what we're going for.
It's communism, really? You're gonna pull that card now?
No, it's a joke. But
they damn better wrap you. We don't want no damn communists around here.
But then, I mean, you could also go for. Now I'm just thinking of all, like, the official spaceship as well, because I'd also point out one of the most compelling designs in the 90s was probably the Omega class destroyer from Babylon 5. And that was one of the very first, like, full, like, CGI models. And the really crazy thing about that design is that it was so complicated that they had to cut back the polygons. So the one we see in the show is not actually the real Omega class. The real Omega class has even more guns and more, like, on it.
You wanna hear something funny?
About the Omega class? What about it?
I have never seen a single episode of Babylon 5.
Heresy.
I've seen Star Wreck in the Perkining, though, which is pretty much Babylon 5, isn't it?
Well, I've seen as well. Yeah,
like the original version when they still had Trek ships, of course.
I like that parody because the best part about it is when they have the parody of the security chief on Babylon 5, who they call he's Garibaldi is his name, but in that parody they call him Gary Brandy, and it's all because in the last season of Babylon 5, where they basically had no more show to do because they wrapped it all up in season 4, they based one of the entire plot lines in the season was let's make him an alcoholic. That was it.
Wow,
genuinely, you should watch it though.
I've had people say that to me, and I'm probably going to get a lot of yelling at me and cursing, like, "You didn't watch Babylon 5!
It's
ain't no real Trek fan. Wait,
it's unique, and I've seen both Babylon 5 and DS9. Honestly, I'm not sure if I could choose which one is better to me because both are really great. That's how good they are.
I got a non-Trek friend of mine to start watching DS9, and he's now all crazy about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me happy as a, like, I educated him as a nerd.
Wean them onto it. And then soon they'll be watching the Orville, I guess.
The Orville's great too, I'll have to say that as well.
So your final choice, at least for Trek ship, is the Intrepid class.
Yes, I know it's a weird one. I think a lot of people wouldn't expect me to pick the Intrepid, but it's got a special place in my heart. I don't like the captain of the ship, of Voyager, though. I really dislike Janeway.
I love the actor. The character, though, they kind of mess around a bit because that's the
yeah, you know,
that's
the well, you know what
though.
I you yeah, know what
the
I,
writers, though. Yeah.
You know what I call it, right? Yeah.
Anyway, Janeway Pye.
I was going with Captain Schizo, but...
I put them on the writers though, because there was. But
yeah, I blame it on the writers.
There's a lot of things we could
get into. Some episodes she's great, and another you're like, what the hell have you done? But I think the same goes with like 7 of 9. Like in one episode, she's a really interesting character, and the other episode, he's like, I would
argue it's more John what happens with Picard in the movies, because he's fantasy action Picard, which honestly I've learned to really hate. the best and only good TNG movie is X Generations. With all its flaws, Generations I can watch it, but this is TNG. Whereas with First Contact, as fun as First Contact is, I'm like, is this action fantasy Picard?
Yeah, but that's the only movie where action fantasy Picard makes sense.
No,
I mean, somewhat, a little bit.
Doesn't make sense anytime. Like, he's not action fantasy Picard. He sits down and drinks ill tea, Picard. We'll see what these shows like. That's gonna be interesting. But
I think
action fantasy Picard is back.
Honestly, I've got high hopes for the show now. I mean, now that I saw that trailer, they at least know what he does. I mean, oh yeah, he does it. Like, they figure out he makes Chateau Picard. And there's, of course, the leaked set pics, which show, like, uniforms, which makes sense.
Yeah. It looks like proper, like, future.
Yeah, they just made that. I've seen, like, a leaked picture of the comm badges, and they literally took the All Good Things comm badge and made it, like, slightly different.
It does. But... as much as we can
talk about Star Trek forever, again, this is something
as much as we can talk about Star Trek forever, standard nerds here.
I know, right?
I am going to say, though, since you've chosen Intrepid for your Star Trek-like favorite spaceship design, mm-hmm. and why, which I think it's pretty obvious, like, so we've gone over the hero ship, kind of, like, it's the right size, and it's just, like, it's a bit gimmicky within themselves, but eh. However, which would you then pick for a non-Star Trek spacecraft? Your favorite non-Trek spacecraft design, and why?
You see, the thing is, I really like the Orville's exterior. But the interior just reeks of cheap set.
Just like Star Trek,
Yeah, but you know, there's like it's like it's a bit too squarey on the inside when you've got this nice curvy ship.
You see, you would actually pick the Orville as like the non. That's a bit cheaty though, because it's like a Star Trek parody sort of.
I mean, I really like a non-Trek ship. Let's have a think.
I mean, the Orville is basically Seth MacFarlane going, I didn't get to make my Trek show, so I'm just going to make it anyway.
It's like, you won't give me the license, I'll make some for myself.
It's basically, he even gets the same like actors back and writers and directors. He doesn't care.
But I think I'm going to go for the... Damn, this is hard.
It is a tough question. I'm not answering it. It can be like from a video game or book as well. Or...
I know. I'm going to go for the SR-1 Normandy. There's so many memories in that game, and when I think about that, it just makes me happy. You know, I can just like hear the bleeps and the bloops, and I can. I know, if I were blindfolded, I could walk around that ship.
I also one thing I also appreciate about what BioWare did with the Normandy is. The reason why they named it the Normandy, because it was meant to be them. The Normandy is meant to be like one of like the premier kind of like joint operations, as well with the Turians, mm-hmm. kind of like this is who we are, and like the idea being that the reason why they named it Normandy is this is who we are. We are Normandy, referring to the Battle of Normandy, mm-hmm. being like it's like we have teeth, but we're not monsters. We fight monsters, kind of thing.
I thought they just named it after a piece of French countryside, but oh well.
No, they specifically, if I remember correctly, is it a cruiser? No, it's not a cruiser class, it's destroyer class. And destroyers are named after the battles, and like, I think it's cruisers are named after mountains or something like that. And then,
I think dreadnoughts are named after mountains.
Oh, that's cruisers are named after cities then, I think. One is cities, one is like
there's
mountains.
There's a Kilimanjaro class dreadnought, so that's definitely named after mountains.
So it's kind of like how the roundabouts in DS9 were named after rivers, which is how many rivers does Earth have? We're gonna run out of them.
I've never seen a Rhine class runabout, so me.
Happy they had a
river. Yellowstone isn't a river. It's a park.
Maybe in that point in time it is. Who knows? Maybe they won't.
That's a very good point.
And they just never mention it. Like, it erupted, and there's like a seabed there, and it's
like a lava lake.
Yeah,
it's technically a lake.
It's not like a tourist destination. You just go to look at the lava.
Ooh, wow. Like you can throw a, like for $5, you can throw a bunny in there.
Oh no! The civilized Federation, everyone. Favorite spaceships, we're going over that. And also, for the sake of completing this, just to go over it, Hobbs did also answer this question. For them, Star Trek ship would have to be Excelsior. Star Trek 1 is Starbug from Red Dwarf, which is a ship that won't die.
What's that? What's Red Dwarf? I've never heard of that.
Red Dwarf, it's a comedy sci-fi show.
I'm not a smeget, of course I know. Yeah, I didn't expect that, did you?
I did not. So
it used to be on TV when I was a kid. I didn't understand half of it, but I enjoyed it.
To wrap up, because this has been going longer than previous interviews actually. Probably just want to talk about like all the sci-fi for
because we're good mates. That's why.
Because talking about sci-fi all this time. But we do need to wrap this up. So the last question, and it's obvious. Is there anything you would like to plug? I think it should be obvious what you want to plug.
Well, since I'm from the Netherlands now.
What?
There's this dike, and then thumbs and, the story.
I don't know what to talk about.
Well, I mean, of course, I'd like to plug my own mod, but I also, you know, Age of the Federation. Go download it, go play it, enjoy. I also like to plug Dawn of the Reapers and their amazing team, and go fan Star Wars Interregnum. Basically,
so all the mods,
all the Sins mods, yeah, and also some plugs out to the great community of Empire at War. Got some help from them when it came to Substance Painters. So thank you, guys, everyone. I don't know if any of them will be listening to this, but hey, worth a shot, right?
I guess.
And of course, a big shout out to yourself, Schism, and to Blair for all the for all the special things you've done for us modders, and for our team in particular.
And to many more years to come, hopefully.
Oh God!
You'll never.
Does that mean Sins 2?
It might mean Sins 1.5. I don't know, 1.95.
I was going to say, we're well beyond 1.5.
We're going for 1.95. 1.99, 1.991.
Oh, God, we're going to break the 1.0 barrier.
I mean, it's just factions all the way down.
It's like now another pack of minor factions. Like, are we ever going to find out what's happening to the Vasari? No, but you'll get 50 more minor factions.
That's a good idea. I'm going to make a note of that, Max. 50 more minor factions.
Yeah, that's how many Ages of the Federation we'll have once we're done with it.
Right, so
you may laugh, but I wasn't lying.
So thanks for doing the interview, and we're going to end it here.
Bye-bye. All right. Bye-bye.